almost in two. As she turned it over without reading the script, she kept her wide, terror-filled eyes to the page. She wanted to know what happened. What happened next to the boy and the woman on the bus? What were they doing there in the comic? What had this to do with the fate of her heroine? But everything was confused. The pictures on the page registered only a manic jumble which made no sense at first. She wasn't reading the images, for narrative was hardly reading them at all. All she wanted was what happened next, but she was hysterical. Everything's shaking and sweating like that, and all the pictures on the next page, it was as if they had lifted themselves off the paper in a scumble of semantic disaster and been shot into her brain through a wide open eye. What the? She gasped as she tried to piece the images together. A picture of disaster. The bus was in flames and there was snow. A police crew were looking aghast. A young black guy was crying. There were tears streaming down his ragged face. Words were splattered all over like globs of gore. Oh God, no! She felt herself screaming. The twisted wreck of the burning bus with snow falling. And in the snow, the dead passengers mutilated all over the road to the open sky was what she saw. All of them dead except for the little boy who seemed to be still reading his comic some way off from the scene. Untouched, unfazed by the event. You could just see the back of him, the back of his head. Come to think of it, that's all you ever saw. No, stop, we're gonna crash. She was screaming, flinging the comic away and lurching into the aisle of the bus astonished. Passengers let her push past them as she dived for the exit. Stop the bus! For God's sake, stop the bus! It's gonna crash and we're all gonna die, she screamed. You could see it in their eyes. The other passengers just thought she was a loony. The driver began to slow down, but then was hit by a sudden and devastating heart failure that killed him instantly. It would be a twisted irony if the car-off woman's commotion had brought on the fatal cardiac event. The bus suddenly surged forward as his dead foot lumbered onto the accelerator, and the bus careened across lanes and plowed into a lorry carrying oil. Both lorry and bus exploded into a total blood and metal smoke and flesh twisted carnage moment of extreme death. The scene was soon filled with emergency service personnel, flashing blue and red lights, howling sirens, tape zipping off the side, and crowds of ghoul voyeurs wanting to see what was happening. The fire and the smoke spat over the roads of the city, and traffic was gridlocked for hours. Darkness fell, but there was still a total shutdown of the area, and the body count clocked up 30 dead, including the car-off woman fluttering over the plowed up snow was a torn rag of comment. What the fuck is happening out there? Grumbled Lamont as the blare of traffic horns, ambulances, police, fire, and general other angry stuff blasted up even to where he was lying. High up in his miserable building, in his miserable flat, even there in the grunge and scum of his fadge blatted bed, the noise of the city had raised itself up to interrupt his brooding. Rancid had fallen asleep. What's up, old man? She grumbled, opening her eyes slowly and painfully. There's some fucking commotion outside. A hell of a racket, smell of smoke too. He sniffed rancid, took his word for it. So, she asked, bloody annoying, that's all. He rolled over and pushed his face into hers. Pigs of 30-minute orgasms, he grunted. I haven't got that sort of time, she laughed and rolled sharply out of bed. So what have you got planned? He asked her, going down under the whiffy blankets. Dunno, I want a drink, he cries. The floor was covered in newspaper socks, discarded junk food cartons with leftover
chicken nugget fragments and dead French fries stuck to the cheap cardboard cartons and empty cans of pop and empty bottles of booze all over. I've been thinking about all that mind-body shot you were talking about before. I don't think you're quite bang on, lady, the fat detective announced. Then he rolled out of the bed and stood in the room, stretched, yawned, and rubbed his stubble with his chubby hand. So what did I get wrong? She answered lightheartedly. She was looking for some alcohol to rub over her gums. I've been thinking that I need a drink, replied Lamont, who suddenly is on his hands and knees, scrabbling around, throwing bottles of gin, rum and whiskey out from under the papers and the cartons, the junk, until rising with a triumphant huff and a half-empty bottle of seaweed whiskey in his fist. You ever been to the McGinn building? He asked rancid, pulled a face, never even heard of it, she said.